All right, let's go. Hello, everybody, and welcome to episode number 10 of the Confused Breakfast Podcast. Do you remember the pure joy of a trip to the video rental store as a young kid?
I do.
The excitement of walking down the aisles, browsing the names and the artwork, and finally deciding on a movie you were going to take home with you. Sure, it's hard to beat the ease of the modern era and streaming platforms where you don't even have to get off your couch, but there was something truly special about making that trip as a child, picking a movie out by hand, and punching your brother in the face. I had a hard time trying to... That's all I got.
Solid.
On this podcast, we revisit and dissect some of our favorite childhood movies from that magical era to see if they still move us the way they did as kids. I'm your host, Mike Schulte, and joining me as always, bully number one and bully number two, Sean Pryor and AJ Venz. How the heck are you?
You look pretty hot over there, you dweeb. You need to cool down. That's a joke, I think.
That's amazing,
a bully would say.
That's amazing. I just want to kind of clear the air as we start here.
Yeah.
Retirement home. Retirement home. I'll say it three times.
Okay.
Retirement home.
I'm glad you did it because I still think that's one of the best. I think we should win an Emmy for that. Emmy.
Yeah. I've been practicing this entire week just to try and say it again. And first couple days, it was a real big problem and stutter, but...
If pre-funeral home ever ends up in a movie or a Saturday Night Live skit, you heard it here first.
Yes, 100%.
Because no one has ever said that.
No. That reference right there is that should be in a Judd Apatow film.
I'm ashamed.
Well, let's go with your favorite pre-segment, review time. So this comes from Jay Lawrenson. He says, immediately good, better as you go. Listening to Confused Breakfast is like sitting at the top of the basement steps listening to your cool but kind of nerdy older brother and his friends talk about their favorite movies you're not quite old enough to watch yet. If you're missing your friend group during quarantine, jump into these episodes because these guys make you feel like they've been saving a spot on the couch for you, and there's a cold Mountain Dew and a huge bag of Cool Ranch Doritos on the coffee table just for you.
Jesus Christ,
that,
man.
That is picturesque.
Am I the nerdy older brother?
You're the nerdy older brother.
I am older, but I'm not nerdy.
You are doing this podcast.
Hey guys, let's start a podcast.
Okay, that's totally dweeb. Me. Jeez.
That is totally me.
That's an incredible way to put the show. That's amazing. Yeah,
I think we're done. I think that's it. I think we've achieved what we wanted to achieve.
That's a podcast I'd want to listen to. That description though is just like sitting at the top of the stairs, like listening in while your brothers are watching. You know,
I've done that before.
Yeah,
I've done it like three times over because I have three older brothers, so it's all I would do.
If that's how we can make everybody feel, then I'll be happy.
Yeah. Well, and again with these reviews, it takes us a lot of time to do these episodes, especially since we've moved to once a week. We're what, 5 hours in the studio?
Yeah.
Another 3 to 4 hours rewatching movies and research. Let's call it 10 hours a week times three. It's 30 hours of man hours, of hunky man hours put into each of these episodes. So,
Indeed. You
know, we do it because we love it, but you can pay us in the international currency of love and affections.
Yes.
Reviews.
Via reviews.
And just sharing with your friends.
Yeah. That's all you got to do.
You owe us $0. We haven't even hit you with the Patreon yet.
If it makes it any more enticing and like maybe you want to see some of that work go on, we do it all shirtless. I mean, sometimes we do it apart. And I mean, obviously we're here together where I can see your chest. AJ, right. I can see your chest, Mike. You can absolutely see my chest because it's so bosom-like. You can see some of that. I just want you guys to know that could be an option for you if you write enough reviews. So thank you.
I think we know what that number is. So when we hit that number, we're going to go straight to video so you can watch.
Exactly.
So
it's been snowing a lot in Iowa and Sean is shirtless. So, and he's sitting against the backdrop as a window. I can't tell where the snow starts and Sean begins and vice versa.
I'm just a floating head right now.
Yeah. It's insane. His glasses are just like the Invisible Man and some facial hair.
I would also like to add, would you say hours of watching movies was like 3 hours worth of watching?
I said watching and researching 3 to 4 hours.
Sure. I would also like to say times five with movies like Today.
No kidding.
I mean, it just feels like a little bit more work.
Well, but before we get into that, I do have a question for you. That this movie, I always think of you guys when I watch the movies, rewatch them. I was wondering if you guys haven't had any weird, silly nicknames for you as a kid. Because clearly we're going to be dealing with some stupid, silly nicknames. Yes. So,
I mean,
did you have one, Sean?
I did. Well, I mean, it was like a more of like an affectionate kind of term. It wasn't as cool as like fucking Rocky or Colt, or actually it was more like Tum Tum.
But closer to Tum Tum.
My mom and like my parents and like every single one of my like parents' friends and stuff like that used to call me Bo.
Bo.
And Shauna Bo for short. Shauna Bo.
Like Haribo?
Yeah, well, I guess. Yeah, I mean, it was just like Shauna Bo or just Bo, get on over here. Because I'm an insufferable baby. Yeah, that's what I was called, but no one calls me that anymore. Some people call me Shawnee.
I like that.
Days like this, but that's more of an affectionate kind of thing, too. It's not like a nickname. Shawnee. It's not like I did something like raced a man. It was like, you're the racer now. Or, I don't know, you know. Nothing cool.
Shawnee P. That's later in life.
I did that one.
You did?
I did that, yeah. But, I mean, maybe Shawnee P, Sean Extra Pussy.
Yeah, okay.
Okay, yeah, all right. Did you have a weird nickname?
Yeah, I did. I had three older brothers, Mike. I had nicknames, okay? Most of them weren't creative. They were just like you would imagine from
pejoratives.
From Home Alone and Three Ninjas and all these. Yeah, it was like butt breath and puke and fart head and I don't know, probably because they farted on my head.
Pukey
yeah.
McFart head.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But the most common one, and so is this a safe space? Like, this can't be used against me?
If you haven't realized that yet.
It can't be used in the court of podcasting.
No one's listening, and it cannot be used against you. This is just three friends having a good conversation.
Yep. Okay. So for some odd reason, there's absolutely...
Press record.
Yeah, press record. Okay.
There's absolutely no reason why this came about, but my brother Bob, for some odd reason, when I was very young, just started calling me Daisy.
I need to tell you, we did hit record before that. I'm very sorry.
You guys promised me.
Got him, dude.
Daisy? Oh,
yeah, Daisy.
Okay.
And I don't know. It was like AJ Days. You know, it's like one of those like free, what do they call it? Free.
No, I'm trying to get there. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Free association.
Yeah, of course.
And you're just like, and so apparently that's just like what it was, is AJ Days, AJ Daisy.
Yeah, you get there, right? And you just keeps going.
Keep going, and eventually it was just Daisy.
Couldn't it be like Jay-Z?
I know.
Like, then AJ's?
I'd be really
AJ's.
Freaking cool.
Yeah. AJ's.
Yeah.
Like Blaze.
We call you Age.
I like Age, which, by the way, I've been spelling A-J-E-E-E-E-E-J.
Yes.
Age.
Like, you got to get the E's through there.
You have to.
Age.
What about you, Michael?
Yeah. So my last name being Schulte,
we were
on the playground one day, and there was an older kid that was playing with us, and he goes, "You, what's your name?" And I'm like, "My name's Mike Schulte." And he's like, "That's a stupid name. What does everybody call you?" I'm like, "Well, they call me Schulte." And he's like, "Salty? Your name's Salty now. I'm calling you Salty now." So, yes, from age 6 to, like, 24. I was known as Salty.
24.
Yeah, wow. In fact, it became my name. Like, I embraced it. Like, I even, like, on my goalie sweaters, I would put, like, Salty.
Salty. Okay.
Yeah, Salty.
Yeah, you embrace it.
Salty.
I think that's the beginning of embracing Daisy. I'm trying to make up for it. Did you ever have your own name used, like, as an insult? Insult?
It's like Munson?
Well, yeah, kind of.
Yeah.
Well...
You really shunned that.
You really
like
shunned
that
out.
Kind of thing.
Well, it's like early. I've just
don't
like,
be a Daisy.
When I was a kid, yeah, exactly. When I was a kid, like people thought like kids who couldn't come up with something, they'd be like AJ, and you're just like, I guess I no
nope.
AJ Benz, and you're just like, is this really? Supposed to be an insult? And I don't understand what's going on. That's people used to do that to me. Like, my name was some sort of an insult.
No. I can't imagine,
and there's
like...
there's no Munson...
No.
You know?
I can't imagine, like, showing up and, like, people just doing that.
Yeah.
And, like, that's my name. What are you...
What's that AJ? And by AJ, I mean smell, because it's terrible.
Yeah. Wait.
Oh, I really AJ'd my knees last night. What?
I just AJ'd in my pants.
Oh, man.
Cool, yeah.
I gotta go scratch my mic.
I get it.
Yeah.
I mean, people made fun. It's not like a nickname, but they called me Scene because of the way I spell it.
Oh, yeah. That's
Scene by Scene.
Thank you.
Well, speaking of terribly dumb nicknames like we just told you, I'm very excited to announce our movie topic of the episode, a movie coming up very quickly on its 30-year anniversary, if you can believe that or not, spawning three more movies, miraculously. This is 1992's Three Ninjas. Now, before we get started with the full-blown movie breakdown scene by scene, we like to get you some pertinent and important background info about the movie Scene. Let's see what you got there.
Damn it. I knew I shouldn't have said it, man. Okay. Released in 1992, as Mike said, Three Ninjas described as an American martial arts comedy film.
Wait, do that one more time. No, I'm just joking.
It was written by Kenny Kim and Edward Emmanuel, produced by Martha Chang, music by Richard Marvin, which is already one of the biggest problems of this movie that I have.
Excited to talk about that.
The music is horrendous, fucking awful. This is like his second feature that he did, but he got better because he did like U571 and a movie called Breakdown with Kurt Russell that I really like. I got better. Okay, starring Victor Wong of Tremors fame.
Thank you, because that was immediate. Yeah, yes. Like, that's Tremors. Yep,
Tremors, Big Trouble in Little China. Well, I mean, we will cover those movies. Victor Wong, Michael Trainor as Rocky, Max Slade as Colt, and Chad Power as Tum Tum as the titular Three Ninjas. Ran Kingsley as Snyder, who I looked up to try and find a little bit more things about him. He was in two movies. Obviously, Three Ninjas is one of them, and the other doesn't have a name. It just doesn't have a name.
He's got a dope name, Rand Kingsley.
Exactly. Oof. And I looked pretty up. Good. I'm trying, like, as you can tell, I'm scratching the bottom of the barrel for fun facts about this movie because there's not a lot.
He was meant for stardom.
I looked to see if he was related to Ben Kingsley. He isn't.
You could have. Nobody cared. You could have just said.
Exactly.
Nobody's going to fact check that.
You're in two movies, man. Patrick LaBoyatois as Fester.
Oh, God, I love Fester.
Race Nelson as Marcus and DJ Harder as Hammer. Also, DJ Harder was also a second assistant camera operator in this movie and is also doing that job today.
Ooh.
And Professor Toru Tanaka as Rushmore, the big old mountain man. That's it.
It's okay. I mean, because we're going to have a lot to talk about. I mean, there are things that we're going to want to analyze.
I'm sorry.
So like, deep.
I scratched the bottom of the barrel for this man, and anything that I came up with was like, yeah, the reception was. I'm like, that's not my segment. That's everyone else's favorite segment.
Well, before we get to the reception, we always like to give the audience a little insight into what we thought about the movie the first time we saw it. So this being my choice, I'm very sorry, guys. Yeah. I'm going to go first. I was 9 when this came out. So I was like right in between Rocky and Colt in as far as age. Okay. So yeah, I mean, like, this movie was so awesome, right? I mean, this is kid power. This is just kids beating up adults and doing what they want and having all this cool stuff. I mean, I was an 8.5 to 9.
Yep.
Yeah. I mean, and I remember we never bought it, but we would consistently probably once a month rent this movie, me and my brother, and just sit in the basement and be like, yeah, this is the part where they fight 37,000 ninjas.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it was amazing. For me, it was amazing. What about you, AJ?
It was also the same exact thing. Like, let's see, 92, I would have been young, but obviously I watched it later on. This was definitely a rental. This was a movie 100%. Rental, VHS rental that we got and probably racked up plenty of late fees on.
Countless.
Just so many late fees. And we loved this movie. Me and my brother Bob, we would watch it all the time. Our buddies would be over. We'd watch this on sleepovers.
Yeah.
Pizza night with Mountain Dew and stuff. And just, I don't know.
Cool,
man.
Ranch Doritos. Cool Ranch like Doritos.
Yeah. And, but yeah, it was so quotable to us.
Yeah.
I remember specifically like acting parts out like, as a kid, you know, and like, especially to my mom. This is when my mom said, you should just be an actor. Oh, because my mom is just always supportive of anything
she
we
still
wanted
says
to do.
That today.
Yeah, she does.
Well, we've already established that you used to be in the basement doing karate.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes.
Yeah.
So, I mean,
I hope. Yeah. Oh, no. I can't hear anymore.
Sean's got PTSD for that.
We'll get to it.
We'll get there.
What was your rating?
I'm gonna give it the 8.8.
Right.
I'm right around where you guys are, man. Like I remember I was 1 year old, so I was barely a speck in my father's eye. Yeah, I was born, but we bought this on VHS, and that's how me and my brother watched it. And my brother is the probably the biggest fan of this movie that I've ever known. And I really should have like had him record something for this because he can probably quote the entire fucking movie. He's like, it's so weird with him because he's like every time we're like on the phone or we see each other, he's the master of knowing like quotes from like Little Nicky that no one else picked out, but he's like, I find it so funny. And then when he says, I'm like, what the fuck is that from? And he stumps me and it pisses me off. And
I'm the movie guy in our family.
Yeah. Quit stealing it from me.
He does that, man. It's impressive. But we were such huge fans. I mean, I think I was forced to be a fan because he watched it and he's my older brothers. And super fun. What kid doesn't want to be a ninja and kick ass with a grandpa, you know? So I was probably 8.5.
Well, yeah.
There we go. Yeah.
We've established the baseline. That was what we thought when we were kids. We decided we'd be total idiots and try to watch it again as 30-plus-year-olds with a more critical eye. But before we do that, before we give you the full-blown film review, we always look to AJ for some research. He checks into the ratings and reviews. And I'm just going to throw it out there. I'm guessing this is the lowest-rated critical movie that we've looked at yet.
Absolutely. 100%.
The only researchable research on this movie is how people felt about it.
You know what? As I was, I dug through countless reviews of these, and I've tried to find. But the thing is like no one really went in on this. They all felt it was like too easy of a target.
They felt bad
about it at this point. But I did find some good stuff. But like always, we're going to start you off with the Rotten Tomatoes, the tomato meter.
Yes, this is the critics, right?
Critics on the tomato meter. 32%.
Price is Right trombone.
The audience received it as a 53, so much better than what the critics did, okay? Which, if, you know, I have to imagine, like, at that point, it's like adults reviewing it for their kids. You know what I mean? It's
Yeah.
So, but that's my thing.
It's not offensive, is that rating, 53%.
IMDb puts it pretty low again. Lowest one that we've done thus far. 5.3 out of 10.
Wow.
From IMDb.
And we were hanging out in the sevens there for a long time. Yeah. And now, wrong way.
A little bit of a dip. Same thing with like the Metacritic. That's the IMDb like critical stuff. Because like even the good ones were like.
This is the opposite of what we've normally been doing where you like have to search for the bad one. You're searching for the good one.
I'm searching for good ones, man. So I'm going to start you out with this and then the rest of them are just gonna let it go. So this is called Very Good!
By Roger Ebert.
No.
Oh, man.
No, I didn't get Raj in on this.
I don't think he
but
did.
But I called up his boy Genie Siskel, and we got him in on this one
good.
Too.
That's the other arm of the Ebert.
Yeah. So Very Good. This was in March 28th of 2001. This is a very good movie. I enjoyed watching it. I even taped it. I can watch this movie over and over again.
Just admitting to crimes.
There's an FBI warning against this right in the beginning, man. This movie may have some mild violence, but it teaches children many lessons. This movie is also funny and has a lot of martial arts action. A must-see movie. If you haven't seen it, I suggest seeing it sometime. It really is a very good movie.
Is this Tum Tum writing this?
Hey, all of the words he says are true.
Yeah.
Besides it being a very good movie.
Yeah, he's just like stating facts. Like, he's just saying things. As Sean likes to put it, those are just words.
It's just words, man.
Movies are made up of moving pictures.
Oh, my God.
This was one that was presented in front of me.
If you're wondering, 0 out of 3 people found that review helpful.
thank you very much.
Yes.
Is the 3 that, like, people read it, though?
Yeah, like they read it and they had they wanted to make it a point to down, like, to get the thumbs down on this. This is not accurate. This is not accurate.
I'd like to think you added one to that.
I didn't have the heart and the soul crushing ability, I guess.
But you did have the ability to upvote it, and you didn't.
I did not. That's right. I'm playing the fence on this one, boys.
Switzerland, baby.
I want to go through this one really quick because this is probably the most, like, coherent of it all. This is from the Seattle Times. The director, John Turteltaub, completely misses the character-driven appeal of the Karate Kid series, and there's no Macaulay Culkin in the cast.
Wow.
I mean, Home Alone has just come out.
Yeah.
Everyone's crazy about that, dude.
The movie is saddled with a junky visual style, haphazard editing, and occasional out-of-focus shots. Much of it looks like very bad television. Although the toilet jokes and a running gag about laxatives and instant diarrhea may be a little raw for the Disney Channel.
Oh, no!
So, there you go.
Instant diarrhea.
Instant diarrhea. I'm going to save Gene for last.
Okay.
All right. Let's go back to a couple of personal, okay? This was in 2020 that somebody reviewed this. They must have had some quarantine time on their hands. A miserable ripoff of The Karate Kid. The worst thing is you can almost bet that an executive at Touchstone has already put the wheels in motion for a sequel to bloat an industry that is already chock full of uninspiring films such as this one. I got bad news for you, pal. There's 3 more. Okay. Yeah.
In 2020, you didn't know that?
You didn't know that? Like, exactly. That was my thoughts. That's why I wanted to share that. It's like, where have you been, man?
Hulk Hogan was in one of them.
Just came out of a coma, and he went into a coma in 91 and just came out, and he's trying to catch up.
Yeah, I think that's what happened here. So, last one before for Gene. Pure crap.
Yeah.
Here it is.
All right. Getting right in there.
Serious Home Alone / Karate Kid knockoff with enough bad character stereotypes to have the writer sued and then shot.
I mean, you don't have to shoot them, but I mean, like, maybe just don't let them work again. I mean,
take a finger, man. That's all.
In Hollywood, people have been killed for less.
That's true. That's a punishment by death in some countries. So. Oh, yeah. You could see blatant stuntman usage in almost every scene.
Can't wait.
Oh, and the acting sucks too. Although I must say that the line, "Sorry, dude, I have to take a major dump big time," made me laugh my ass off.
I mean, yeah, there was some good moments,
All right, here's Gene Siskel from the Chicago Tribune. This is a 25 out of 100 critic score.
Okay. Also, I don't see the Karate Kid ripoff anywhere. Just because there's, like, martial arts in it?
Well, kids and karate.
There's an Asian old man teaching the kids karate. You know, there's a little bit.
Yeah. Gene Siskel says, a miserable ripoff of the Karate Kid with 3 white bread youngins taking lessons from their Chinese grandfather on how to be upright and horizontal ninja warriors. They get their kicks trying to knock off a Steven Seagal imitation who is running drugs.
Oh, yeah.
Brilliant. I loved it. That's it. That's all. I thought that was the great little synopsis for this movie.
I know reviews are not my thing, but I stumbled across a website. I have to give him credit. His name's Eric Snyder, not to be confused with.
Okay.
And he writes Eric's Bad Movie Reviews. It's just a website, so look it up. It's pretty good. But he had a great line. He said, you know how sometimes when you're a little kid, you have a Japanese grandfather, and how sometimes he teaches you the art of ninja warfare, which you then use to defeat an international arms dealer? 3 Ninjas is a movie about that time in every boy's life. I thought that was worth sharing because I really like
it. It's ninjutsu. Excuse me.
Hello.
I did forget one little detail about the director. He's like a huge director now. This is one of his first movies, but he did Cool Runnings.
Seriously?
National Treasure. Wow. And then,
so he did not get killed?
Yeah. No. Director, no. Writers, maybe.
Okay, writers, maybe.
And most recently, like he's like a blockbuster director, The Meg, which is that Megalodon shark movie. So, yeah.
Damn, bro.
Yeah, big time.
Big time.
Well,
dropped the ball on this one.
Yeah, you know, you're never good your first time.
Exactly.
Okay?
Yeah.
Or third or fourth or fifth. So let's put on our stupid color-coded plastic mask that we can't see out of, call each other by our childhood nicknames, and in an effort to stop saying the most overused and dumbest phrase in podcast history, I'm going to say, here we go.
I don't.
All right.
Please don't play the fucking music. No, I will be playing the music.
Samuel, Jeffrey, and Michael Douglas are spending the summer vacation with their... I know. Actually, I know. His name's Michael Douglas, okay? Those three kids are spending the summer vacation with their grandfather, Maury Tanaka, at his cabin outside of Los Angeles, California. Maury has been training his grandchildren in the art of ninjutsu. As the summer comes to an end, Maury gives each of them a new ninja name based on their personalities, Rocky, Colt, and Tum Tum. Meanwhile, the boy's father, Sam Douglas, is an FBI agent who stages a sting operation to entrap Hugo Snyder in the sale of warheads. Snyder escapes the trap with the use of his own ninja henchmen. I have a question. What kid did you associate yourself with as a child watching the movie? Because it's set up to where you can sort of pick one of them and become one of them.
Absolutely, yeah, that's a good question. Right. I think as a kid I was... totally like, oh fuck, I'm Rocky.
Okay, so
like,
you saw yourself as the leader of the group and the strongest. Yeah. So I know that I was Rocky, but I wanted to be Colt.
Yeah.
I wanted the badass, like, don't care about nothing, but that was definitely not me.
He's the unhinged. He's the
Raphael.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. You want to be the Raphael, but you're not because you're just you're a good kid.
Yeah. I was Tum Tum, unfortunately. I just was. I was definitely Tum Tum in my own personal life. My energy starts and ends with my stomach, and but also I was the youngest too. I was just Tum Tum.
You're Tum Tum.
I wanted to be Colt though.
Everybody, I think, wanted to be Colt.
Probably,
but very few.
Cole was probably the best looking.
I think so. Jamie Lee Curtis, much?
Exactly. Oof. No, thank you for Jamie saying Lee that because I couldn't figure out. I always watch movies and I go, well, who is this person? What do they look like?
Right.
Wow, he looks exactly like Jamie Lee Curtis.
Like his entire face looks exactly like her. She has an age. So like it is unreal, but no relation whatsoever. Because his name's Michael Douglas, right?
Or Michael Douglas. Well, let's learn their real names in order to just forget them forever, because now we have cool nicknames.
Yeah, I know, right?
I did think that like the nicknames thing was brilliant, though, because I think that added this cool kid thing to the movie. Because if they were Samuel, Michael, and Jeffrey, I don't think this movie really... gets off the ground it did.
They're the most formal way to say those names. And like, it's not Mike, Jeff,
Jeffrey.
And Sam, you know? It's like
Samuel.
Samuel. His dad is Sam. But yeah, he'd have been Junior. Samuel. Yeah. Like, come on. And so, but yeah, it's like the most formal way to say their names. There's no way you're going to assimilate with that as a kid.
Well, speaking of names, Colt's name was originally supposed to be Pony.
Yeah.
You know, that badass term, like Pony. Come over here, Pony. Like, not Pony Boy. Pony Boy's kind of badass, but like Pony?
Pony.
Nah, dude. Not as cool as Colt. And then in the international version, because there's an international cut of this.
Yes.
Where there's a lot of scenes taken out, like some fight scenes and stuff like that. And in the U.S. version, there's the fucking stupid-ass, dumb boy.
All
yeah,
the
yeah,
sound effects.
I don't know why we did that in the U.S. version, but his name in that is Mustang.
Mustang,
not Colt, Mustang. Dude, can you imagine?
Mustang.
He's got a hog on him.
If this were real life, like, Colt definitely grew up to continue, like, he kept calling himself Colt. Like, hey, what's your name? My name's Colt. And he's probably, like, a lawyer now. He goes by Jeffrey Colt Douglas. Yeah. And he's got some stupid-ass billboard. Yeah, exactly.
Every time he walks into the room, they're like, oh, man, that's the Colt.
That's the Colt, bro.
It's Colt.
You don't want to cross the cult.
He knows what looks to be like karate, but it's called ninjutsu.
You gotta
stay off him.
So when we begin this, we get I think it's Tum Tum doing narration. Well, they're all of them, I guess. But they're kind of saying like, over the summer we spent our summer chilling with our grandma learning ninjutsu and stuff like that.
Shut up, Cole.
We were at my Japanese grandpa's learning to become ninja masters. What did you do last summer, you fucking plebes? Like, talking to the audience, like, well, I didn't do that because, I mean, according to the guy that reviewed it, I mean, we all should have been doing that, but
yeah.
I just felt bad right off the bat. I'm like, well, I didn't do that. I don't relate.
Oh, he's just putting us down right off
the
bat.
I'm sorry.
It's fair.
And yeah, I hate the music. They're just training to fight a grandpa, fight a 90-year-old stunt man.
Yeah. That's okay. I'm glad you
are you gonna dive into this?
Because it's, you can so easily tell, like, there are even points like the hair isn't even real
it's
in this
so
man.
Bad.
Like, it's really hard to watch.
Do you think it's one of the worst examples of a popular movie and a really bad stuntman correlation to the actual actor? I think it's one of the worst I've ever seen.
It's
definitely up there with, like I said, I don't mean to always bring it back, but even Spaceballs, where
they do that on purpose.
And
in that same aspect, Wet Hot American Summer, when he rolls
Wet Hot American Summer again.
So
the motorcycle is great.
And at one point, it's David Wayne. It's a totally different person going, what? Hello? But that isn't that the power of imagination as a kid, because never one hundred times I watched that movie, never once did I think that was not Mori Tanaka doing backflips.
Well,
and
it's clearly just they didn't even try hard, guys. They literally stuffed a pillow on this guy's chest, and they didn't even care about his legs. And they may have at one point just like strapped a pillow, like a smaller pillow that's been sat on a lot, to his back, and that's about what the stunt suit was. For this guy.
Here, well, wear this fishing hat.
Yeah.
I imagine, like, they... Because he's okay in this movie. He's really cheesy. Yeah. But Victor Wong, it seems like they just, picked him up off of the autograph circuit. Like, that's what he's been doing. They're like, can you do this movie? He's like, fuck yeah, I'll do the movie.
Hell yeah.
You know, he's like, I haven't been in a movie in, like, 18 billion years, you know? And it just seems like he's... I don't know. He's not phoning it in. It's just like super cheesy.
He's just not as good. It's a poor man's Mr. Miyagi. He's just not. And that's why a lot of I think the correlations between Karate
that makes
Kid
a lot
is
of
that
sense.
Like, you've got, who we've already dealt with Karate Kid, go back a few episodes, but like, he was so good. He got nominated for like an Oscar for it. Victor Wong did not get nominated for an Oscar in this movie.
No, absolutely not.
3 minutes into this fucker, and I am so sick of Aya! 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 Oh my God, you guys.
It's hard. It's really tough.
Me and AJ were talking earlier, and like, I was like watching this movie today just to like get it fresh in my head, and watching it. I was driving and listening to it. Yeah.
Like, I don't suggest that.
I got to like the end, and I'm like heading home. I'm like, okay, I'll just like listen to it in the shower and stuff like that as I'm getting ready to go see the boys. And I'm just, it's at the end scene where they're fighting everybody. I'm just like, nope, I cannot. It is off.
You mean to tell me that you're sitting there, no picture at all, and all you're hearing is like some knockoff Zelda 8-bit and
I can only imagine what my neighbors think.
Like, it is the worst, man.
That scene, guys, so weird, man. Did you pick up on, this is where since we've been doing this podcast thing, this is where I really find myself diving deep, is like, like I told you in the last movie, I'm like, let me be the guy that stands there and goes, nope, hey, he would totally know that, so you shouldn't do this. Like, okay, so the warehouse scene.
Yep.
Okay. There,
it's Douglas gets out of the car, and Snyder looks right at him, right?
Right at him.
Right.
And all he has on, he's pretending he's a limo driver. He's got a hat on and some dark sunglasses.
Dark sunglasses are very important.
That is very important. That is it, right? So then like, later on, he takes the sunglasses off and the hat, and he's like, freeze! And it's this FBI raid. But Snyder later reveals that they're... Like, he knows all these personal details about Douglas. This has been an ongoing thing. He knows him well. He knows that Douglas works for the FBI and that he hates martial arts. It's clear that these guys have history and have been at this for a really long time. How, first of all, who would say, yeah, you go ahead and be the limo driver, the first guy that gets out of the car.
Yeah.
And how did he not recognize him?
I feel like there's a missing scene. It's like, no, chief, this is my case. I'm taking him down.
Yeah.
And it's just like that's what it was. And is the guy who's in like the, he's in like the Middle Eastern.
Gee, I do like that, guys.
His
pleasure doing business with you, Mr. Snyder.
Yeah. One, wow, great acting chops right
great
there.
Great mustache, too.
Great mustache. And like when he pulls out the nuke, I'm like, what does he just have like a bin of Coleman thermoses in there, like looking things? And then he pulls out one that doesn't look anything like them. And
yeah, right.
that's a lower grade. That's a Moab.
Okay. And he's just like, and okay. On top of that, let's back up even more. Why would you karate chop a box full of nukes?
Explosives,
why would
dude.
You do this?
You literally, when you're a martial artist and you know ninjutsu, whatever the hell else this guy knows, a Steven Seagal knockoff, your hands are registered as deadly weapons.
Yeah. That's right.
And you're punching boxes of nukes.
Yeah.
I'm crying because I didn't think of that. Like, I just told you how I'm overanalyzing how Sam Douglas would have known each other, but I didn't think about karate chopping a box of warheads.
Why would you try to upset that? Like,
well, you're showing your dominance and your skills, you know?
You got to do something, right? You got to keep the tension on. You got to stay in control. And so,
how do I get these up? Hey, boss, I got me a crowbar.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, all right. I mean, I guess I'll fuck off then. Yeah. Whatever.
How does he approach vending machines? That's what I want to know. but yeah, and then, like you say, like, he's obviously too close to this, right? Sam is obviously too close
way
to
too
this.
Close. Way too close, yeah.
And he does the FBI. Would you think that was the right moment for him to pull the badge? Why wouldn't you, like there's a mild transaction going on here, but let's be honest. Was that the right time to pull the badge and say, you're under arrest?
I don't think so.
No? I mean,
standing a foot away from a martial arts master.
Thank you. Okay, good. All right, I'm just... that fucking laugh.
So glad of you to drop in.
We rewound that part like a couple of times for that guy's laugh, I'll be honest with you.
It's pretty good.
I thought it was a lot longer now that like rewatching it. I was like, I thought he did that there like 2 minutes, but no, he does it for like 2 seconds before he gets his ass handed to him.
He does get worked.
When they go up onto the roof, it's just like... I'd love to stay in chat, but I gotta fly. I'm like,
I gotta fly.
What does he mean? It's like, and then the helicopter comes like, oh, he's the bad guy. Yeah.
Oh, wow. Okay, he's gonna get on a helicopter ladder.
Yeah.
That's gonna fly through. Oh, okay.
Yep.
You didn't hear that helicopter like for like the entire time you've been hanging out.
You
doing
only
this?
Hear helicopters when you can see them.
When you can see them.
And you're also telling me, so essentially that helicopter for the last 2 hours has just been floating hovering at about 400 feet,
yep,
just right next to a building.
Yep. That was his escape plan all along.
But he didn't know he was going to have to escape.
That's right. He had no idea.
As Douglas is driving up, he doesn't notice a helicopter like scathing a fucking building right there.
Yeah.
He's like, that thing seems pretty low, huh?
Is John Turteltaub also a cocaine guy? Like, I mean, I know that's a reoccurring theme for you sometimes in this, but...
All right. Let's see. All right. So the bad guy's got to go, right? Bad guy's got to go. He's not going to drop off of the building. This is no threat anymore. So helicopter. You hearing me?
Yeah, I'll get a helicopter. I got a helicopter coming.
Give me a ladder to get up to the helicopter. Helicopter.
That's my name.
We'll put it up to the... A dangly one.
Dangly.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Like a cargo net, essentially, but
like
in ladder
it.
Form.
I like you.
Gotcha. Yeah. Gotcha. Okay, we'll get it right on this, John. Okay. All right, I'm good.
And now we're moving on. That's our new segment is role play. All right. So knowing that Douglas is the son-in-law of Maury, he decides to pay him a visit with all of his ninjas. The boys ignore Maury's orders to stay in the house and aid him by defending groups of ninjas during the fight. Snyder threatens Maury's family if he does not get Douglas off his back. We also find out that Maury and Snyder used to be business partners. Maury teaches the boys a final lesson of what to do during a life and death situation before they return home to the city.
What is Mr. Brown's accent.
Mr. Brown.
What is like, it's like the bad guy's accent is like, what accent are you trying to do? Like typical New Jersey, New York. The director is just like, give me snakes from Angels with Dirty Faces, you know?
You're talking like the accountant, like Snyder's kind of accountant guy with just, a suit on.
I assume like John Turturro was like, give me snakes from Angels with Dirty Faces in Home Alone, but if his mouth got burned.
And also you not being a good actor.
Yeah. Where's Woody Allen from? I'm pretty sure that would be a pretty accurate description of what. Oh my God, I need to see a doctor.
A doctor.
Christopher Walken kind of vibes going on here. I don't know.
He's not good. And in fact, he said, we'll get to them later, Fester.
Yeah.
It sounds like he says Festin.
Yeah,
Festin. Festin.
Is it like, is his name's
Fester?
Name?
No.
Fester,
like,
Festin?
Ooh, it might be.
Hey. I think, I always thought it was Festin.
Festin.
Yes, 100%. And now I kept seeing credits and everything, and it's Fester. And I was baffled by this.
Huh.
Snyder, let's not skip over this. Snyder really is just a god-awful actor.
Typical bad guy that brings his goons, knowing they're the test goons, they're going to get their ass kicked.
Yes.
Like, yeah.
And then once they get their ass kicked, they're like, no, I was just joking.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
But like that, the voice he's putting on there is just, wow.
There's a part of me that loves it.
I know.
There's a part of me that I love it so much. Like, I hate that I love it. I love to hate him. Like, there's a part of it that I'm just like, yeah, this is what essentially like a human super hit villain would be. Boisterous and over the top and wear stupid suits and flashy
ponytail.
Ninja gear and a ponytail.
Yep,
and
yep.
He'd definitely have this vibe,
he
right?
He even says at one point, God, I love being the bad guy.
No.
Fucking dickhead.
Oh,
what are you doing to me?
The exchanges between him and Maury, I cannot buy into the fact that these guys have a history at all. Come on.
That is not like what did they do? It sounds like all they did was like they opened up martial arts schools.
Right. So
how did Snyder go from martial arts schools to like international arms dealing?
Yeah. I had to put this all together. And like I said, I watched it three times today. I watched it four and a half times total in preparation for this.
Do you see why you guys got to give us reviews?
Do you understand what we're doing for you guys?
And to ourselves.
I watched it once and listened to it one time and a half.
You're going to tell me that they were like business partners in the martial arts school. So I imagine that I watched so closely to try to figure this out. He pushed Maury out because Maury is basically like Miyagi,
yep,
and says, no, this is not what the schooling is about. This is not what this teaching is about, right?
Yeah, Snyder.
And then he's like, no, I'm going to monetize
Snyder this. Was John Kreese.
Yes.
Yes.
Absolutely.
There you go.
And he's like, boom, I'm monetizing this. This is what we're going to do now. And then, but then you're right. How on earth, how does he go from opening a martial arts school to selling nukes?
And mad that Maury is not on board for this.
Like,
hey, it's all about who you know.
Like, and what gala were they at together that like the martial arts school was being recognized?
That's
like, what's going on here?
It's no Cobra Kai.
Yeah, like
get the fuck out of here.
Well, keep in mind, Karate Kid has just come out into the universe, so karate schools are at an all-time high here.
Very true.
Right. Yeah,
think
yeah,
about
absolutely.
That.
Good point. Good point.
Maybe ones that you go out in the middle of nowhere to train with your grandpa aren't as popular, but
that's crazy.
And do you see that Karate Kid correlation again? Though, like, Daniel trains with Mr. Miyagi in this nature-esque backyard.
Mm-hmm.
Maury Tanaka has this house with nature and
very raw feeling.
There was one other comparison, I guess non-comparison to Karate Kid, is that we talked about it in that episode where the Karate Kid people chose actors that they could teach karate to.
Right.
Where this was the complete opposite. They chose kids that knew karate that they hoped they could teach acting to.
Okay.
Wow.
And I think that proves the theory. Like, we need you to be good actors.
Yeah.
We can teach you whatever we need to teach you. Because it does not, like, these kids are very good. They're doing their stunts. You can see it.
Yeah.
Yeah. They were doing their stuff.
But they're just not that good at acting.
I think Colt might be like the best out of them.
Yes, absolutely.
Props.
Like his cadence and certain like lines that he has, and like just like, I guess the differentiating of Tum Tum and Colt and Rocky are very well done, because like I'm like, yeah, Rocky is the leader, and mm-hmm. then Colt's the like the enforcer kind of, and then Tum Tum's the silly dumbass, you right? know? So that is like well established, and I think they fill that really well. But yeah, it definitely comes through where it's just like ugh. But I didn't know that about it, and that's I like that we have both versions.
We do. We just saw what happened.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes.
Did you see too? Like again, as a kid, this didn't faze me, but like these ninjas are literally trying to take a sword and slice a 10-year-old
yes.
kid.
Yeah.
So like.
This is yeah.
maybe they're just there to scare him, but like, what if all of a sudden the kid makes some wrong move and you just slice the 10-year-old in half? You're like, yeah. Oh shit! Oh shit! Oh Snyder!
I didn't sign
shit.
Up for this. Man.
We didn't mean to do this.
We're killing kids now.
What the hell are we doing?
And like, even if you are good at karate, it's like Indiana Jones when the guy's got the swords and he just pulls out the gun. Like, if you're a kid that's good at karate, but someone has a samurai sword,
yeah,
you're not gonna defeat him, especially yeah. when there's 37,000 of them.
No kidding. They keep coming out of the woodwork too. Like this is yeah. like a clown car limo that just.
Yeah, where did they park? Did they park further down the road?
They parked down the lane. They just kind of hustled through the woods, and you know,
dude. And where did they? Like, they were all like knocked out, unconscious. So, like, did they eventually wake up and be like, "Hey, sorry about that.
Oh man, that was
crazy. I gotta get back to my."
So, yeah, I can also just imagine like them in the car, like a veteran of yeah. Snyder's antics, just like. I know we're going to go get our ass kicked.
I know he's going to yell at us again.
We're going somewhere just to get our fucking ass kicked. We're going to try our hardest, but there's going to be, you know what? This time there's probably going to be fucking three kids. Yeah. I guarantee it.
Yeah. Who are these guys? Like if this is, if it's martial arts schooling, that means that these guys must be students of some kind. And has this become their 9-to-5? Like, is that how they, like, do they get benefits of this package?
Clan, man.
Like, that's the thing. Like, how are these guys paying rent or mortgages off of this job here, right?
So they're all like really athletic, like 24-year-olds looking yeah. for work in LA, but they're like getting paid a decent salary yeah. to like be ninjas for this guy. And you can imagine them, they're on their day off, they're at a bar and they're talking to women like, what do you do? Yeah. He's like, I'm a ninja.
Yeah, I'm a ninja.
Yeah, I work for this arms dealer. I'm a ninja. And like pulls out his
oh,
phone
yeah?
and shows a photo of him with the weird goggles
yeah,
on.
Exactly.
Like, no, don't worry about it. I'm a ninja. It's
these
cool.
aren't mercenaries, man. These aren't like free market mercenary guys that are just like
they still go home yeah. to their apartment and like pet their cat and be yeah. like, be like, sure was a good day. I'm gonna have a whiskey before I go to bed.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, your scenario was like the same as me, like pulling out my zombie hunter ID. Just yeah, like, look exactly. at that, ladies.
Yeah, how does that work for you, huh? Fucking goggles. God yeah.
Tum Tum knocking on them like drums.
What are those good for, man? Like, what the hell?
But some of those
obscuring
stupid
your vision to get your ass kicked by a little kid.
Yeah, the fucking fisheye vision you get with this, like, it's just gotta be great. And yeah, so I just imagine, and this will be a reoccurring theme, like, now just apply that to every single time there's honest interaction with one of these guys, right? So just apply that to the rest of the movie from here on out if you're listening, okay? Because these guys are working their 9-to-5 and overtime to try to now apparently kill kids. I didn't sign up for this. Let's continue.
Yes. Hashtag humanize the goons.
Yeah,
let's get that on a shirt, you guys.
That's right.
Humanize the goons.
Humanize the goons.
They're worth
please.
Something too. So after this interaction with Snyder, they go back to just training more.
Yeah.
Right, like 5 minutes after.
That wasn't weird.
Yeah, yeah, no. And he did brings out the doll.
Yeah. Where did they touch you? Oh
boys, this is Roberto, and he's definitely not a thing to practice. He's definitely a thing to practice ninja on. Absolutely not a thing for anything else. I'm just a single Japanese man with a compound in California, probably dying of a stroke. I definitely don't fuck it. Definitely don't fuck it. Those definitely are pressure points.
Yeah.
And will incapacitate you whenever you hit them. And also, it'll make me cut. It'll make you better ninjas. Definitely not like, a sex doll.
I feel like it looks oddly like Grandpa and Tanaka, the Bane bad guy.
Yeah. Bane bad guy.
And he, you know, maybe there's some foreshadowing there and everything. I don't know. But but yeah, I really feel like this is a, you know, it's a Mr. No Touch doll. Like Naughty Touch doll. Like it's like this is where you don't touch it and this is where the lights go off.
I mean
here.
In that aspect, like those aren't very far off. Like it's like you could I guess right here, like an inch away from the Naughty area, yeah. you could get away with.
Yeah.
What are we teaching these kids?
Yeah.
I do. There are some scenes like that I thought were done really well, or some shots where I liked where right after that, where he says, go practice, mm-hmm. and Tum Tum immediately starts walking up and lighting that thing up. That was kind of a cool shot over the shoulder the doll.
Right.
And like Tum Tum's face would light up red
when he would
kick it while the two older brothers were talking. But I tried to give it some props.
Also, like with them being like kind of separate characters, like giving that praise to, they do seem like they have chemistry, and I think I did read that they were actually really good friends, like on set and everything. Like they had a really good time making this movie. Obviously, they're fucking playing ninjas and shit, but it does seem like they have like a really good rapport with each other, and they do seem like brothers.
Yeah, for sure,
I can say that about it.
They're like us, like brothers, basically.
Exactly, yeah.
Bravos.
Good rapport.
Yes,
bravos. All right, so when they return home, they find their father unenthusiastic to see what they had learned during their visit and more annoyed at their new names. Emily, a friend of Rocky's, compliments his new name and agrees to ride with them to school the next day.
Yeah.
Snyder develops a plan to kidnap the boys to use them as leverage to get Douglas to back off. Since the FBI watches them, his assistant Brown contacts his irresponsible nephew Fester, a petty criminal surf punk, as well as his buddies Hammer and Marcus to kidnap the boys.
Rocky loves Emily.
My brother and I used to do that. We used to rewind that so much. And dude, I don't know if this was us, because like upon further review, I can see how we were wrong, but we used to rewind that when she goes, so I hear your new name is Aki. It sounds like she doesn't say the R. My brother and I used to laugh at it. So I hear your new name is Aki.
I was annoyed with everything she was about.
Everything about her is very frustrating.
Every time she said, Mrs. Douglas, I'm Mrs. Douglas.
Shut your fucking mouth, goddammit. Dude, and one of the things I think when you were a kid, I don't think you liked Tum Tum. I think Tum Tum was the annoying little brother,
right.
But I think upon rewatch that Tum Tum was actually my favorite.
Uh-huh.
Because even on that scene where they're having that awkward, Rocky and Emily have this awkward conversation, and Tum Tum's in the car making faces.
I think it's the best scene.
I think it is too.
I think it's great.
It was amazing. Like Tum Tum was really fucking good.
Yes.
I think it's brilliantly put together as they're extremely awkward exchange.
Terrible.
And then you just have Tum Tum just like going back and forth like a tennis.
It's so good.
Tennis match.
That's what your younger brother does to your older brother, because your younger Tum Tum has no feelings toward girls.
No.
He's like, what is my brother doing?
Yeah, it's fantastic.
It's definitely my favorite scene. I like it. You're right. The back and forth is like
he rolls.
Huh? You guys are gross. Remember when girls were gross, you guys?
Oh my god, that's right.
Oh my god,
what a weird time.
They kind of still are, right?
Yeah, totally.
Kind of.
Like they're gross. Yeah. All right, let's take 3 minutes on this. So.
Who do you
Why
like?
They wash themselves. So they smell so bad.
Right.
So how could I ever like a girl? She's fucking nasty.
I'm gonna like dial back just a little bit, because when they're driving home through the neighborhood and they're singing Old Smokey, their own rendition. I remember singing this, and like we stole this and we sang it too.
Oh, yeah.
And we thought it was funny as kids. And on top of Old Smokey, I'll cover with blood. And it's just like. I shot my poor teacher.
With a 44.
What does he say?
Slug?
Stud.
Okay.
Why does he say stud?
Is it like stacks? Like the blues number? Like I shot stacks or like staggily?
I have no idea.
I don't even know what a stud is.
I always thought it was slug, and I rewatched it and then re-listened, and then with the subtitle, it's stud.
Maybe they changed it?
I'm guessing so.
Maybe.
Because it's like, well, now it just became a little too real. this just went from fun and playful to premeditated, okay? So
could they in a remake of Three Ninjas, could they sing that same song about shooting a teacher?
No, absolutely not.
You can't sing that, right?
No, definitely not.
Not at all.
Weird.
So, and that's one of the things. This was considered when Disney like picked it up or whatever, it was too much. Like they wanted this to be hard PG, and it was PG-13 by the time that when they got a hold of it.
That would have been a mistake.
Yeah.
I mean, had they released this as PG-13, would have been the most non-money-making movie of all time.
Absolutely. They were absolutely right.
Yeah.
But that was part of it. Like they were like, no, some of these parts just have to be cut out. And that's kind of like where they went into like the international version is like has a little bit more going on. But yeah, so That was my rolling up. We totally copied that. And then you have...
Well, one run real quick on Disney. They thought it was going to be a huge bomb.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they thought it was just going to like fucking tank. But unexpectedly big success in the theater had kids flocking to karate schools to train to beat their grandpas up.
Is this the most popular terrible movie of all time?
I don't know, man. Because not anymore. Like,
okay, it's correct. You're right. Like, you know, with what am I even trying to think
room.
Of? Just the whatever movies, right? Yeah. That they come out and you have to watch it because it's an internet sensation or whatever. Right. Okay, but maybe in the 90s is this the worst?
I think it's the worst. Like, it's definitely like on that level. Like, it's a little bit more competent than those movies, I would even say, because just because it had a budget. Like this movie, like all the fighting and everything like that is pretty legit, you know. But I think I know what you're getting at, and I think you are right. Like, I think it's the most like misunderstood bad movie, but like misunderstood in a bad way. Like, people remember this movie as like, yeah, man, like Three Ninjas is like fucking great. It's like
great, dude.
Right.
It's actually bad.
And that's the way I feel about it. Is it's
but charmingly almost, bad.
It's like one of those things. It's like a bad relationship, man. You feel like you spent so much time reminiscing about it and you invested so much time into it, and you feel like I can't just give up on it now. It's just like
think about like one of the best masterpieces of all time, one of our favorites, Dazed and Confused.
Uh-huh.
Yes. And how perfect that movie is and how nobody watched it when it came out. And then you've got this movie that is
exactly.
just so bad, but yet it sells all over the place and sells merchandise and becomes the biggest movie ever.
100%.
For that time. That's so weird.
Spawns those sequels,
It's like cover bands looking at a band called the Pork Tornadoes and being like, this is bullshit.
Yeah.
How are they fucking doing that?
Who the fuck are they?
Sons Who the fuck of is bitches. This dumbass band?
The name frustrates people. I think that's the greatest part of it.
Hey, listen, tin can phones don't work that way. Okay?
They don't. Thank you.
They don't. They really don't.
No, and like we tried. We thought that'd be so cool. Like, wouldn't it be cool?
Yeah.
If we could like talk.
Me and my brother did that too, and like I don't remember it working.
No.
So.
And it doesn't. Basically, what you have on the table holding your microphone is what he had.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It doesn't. They have to be so taught that you can barely then audibly make out what's going on. She's like, what's going on over there?
Yeah.
But guys, we did figure it out, and that's what we're recording this episode on. And so I hope it sounds really good.
I hope it sounds really good.
She can pick up like room noise on her end. Like, are you kidding me, bro? Like,
going on over there?
You've got to pack your freaking chin into that can and like and really just get all into it. And then like what you hear is,
come on over.
Are you coming over to school, bro?
Don't be late.
One rewindable moment was when Tum Tum, when they went to bed, and he's like,
oh, yeah.
Choked out a jelly bean.
That was very funny.
Me and my providing comic,
that.
Dude.
So I feel like that almost had to, that felt improv almost. You know what I mean?
Because the way the kids laughed was kind of legit. Because they laugh very terribly when the grandpa says he don't climb a tree with thorns. That is a terrible acting laugh.
Yeah.
But that laugh was like, oh, that's a pretty,
no, that's,
I think that really was funny. Like somebody genuine. Farted.
Yeah. maybe like the rewindable moments and like all the quotable, quote unquote, quotable movies in this movie are like the good moments that accidentally happened.
100%.
Be, where they didn't act it. It just happens.
Perfect theory.
Where it wasn't scripted at all.
Well, let's keep trucking along on this movie. The next day, Fester and his friends follow the boys to school but are sidetracked by a fender bender with a police car. Emily becomes separated from the boys and encounters a group of bullies who steal her bike. At recess, the boys challenge the bullies to a 2-on-2 basketball game to 10, and they spot the bullies 9 points.
Stupid
idiots. The brothers effortlessly score 9 consecutive points, all while the bullies try to use dirty tactics, but they fail and lose their bikes after one bully uses a hip check and are able to score their 10th point and win.
Big scene. I want to get to basketball scene real quick.
Let's start it. Start it.
I want to say... Well, the bike ride, like when Emily's riding along with them, they're just like doing tricks and fucking like, you know, harassing their neighbors with their garbage and everything like that.
Yeah,
and they're just like,
I have to imagine that was that not Stanley? That looked like fucking looks Stanley.
Like, it's garbage bag.
Yeah, that was Stanley. All right, go ahead.
But it's just like they're going the stunt way. Emily's going the stupid girl regular way. You
keep
know?
Out. girls.
You fucking, and then they lose her, and then she gets her bike stolen by you know, the bullies, and it's, what? Rocky! It's like, we're not even a relationship, all right?
And here comes my campaign against Emily. I'm going to be honest with you. This is it, guys. I'm sorry. And you know what?
I will wear the pins. I'm on board.
Battle with me if you will. But you know what? And these dang ladies, these
always holding us up.
Intoxicating women always getting themselves into trouble and blaming the guys. You know what? You could have followed. You could have hung out with the boys. You could have tried to fit in, and you'd probably be in a lot better position with Rocky. Okay? But no, you had to go your own way, girls.
Be a stupid girl.
And you had to go along. And you know what? You tried to blame Rocky for showing off, quote unquote. You're the one who went the other way, and by the way, you weren't even watching where you were going.
Fucking idiot! To ride bikes with us to school.
Yeah, you ran right into their wheels.
Lesson number one of riding a bike: keep your eyes forward and see what's ahead of you because you're moving towards it.
Thank you.
You stupid dummy.
Yes, and that's the thing. She runs right into the wheels of bully one, bully two, and goes, cronies. Huh? Four through seven. That's like,
how bad, how punchable were those bullies? They were so punchable as a kid, and yeah. Now even more.
They're
especially
the
tall dude with the hat on and the earring.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like,
oh, yeah.
And then the cronies doing the crossed arm thing.
Dude's park
so
up
funny.
So hard.
I couldn't believe my fucking eyes.
No, that
when
was.
When that happened.
They seriously. They couldn't have found worse kid actors if they tried.
And it happens again. They do it again. They gang up again.
They basically found like serial mascots. You got fucking Frankenberry in the back row. You got Count Chocula on the other end who parks up in the Bulls jacket. And yeah. Then you got Tony the Tiger over there with the ears. Dude, it was the worst.
It was bad.
They are terrible.
And obviously the main guy is stupid rabbit tricks are for kids.
Oh,
you know?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And so frustrating to watch. So there's the beginning of my tirade against Emily.
She's the worst.
She's causing problems.
Okay, so if that was number one, so you're trying to blame this entire thing on Emily.
I got a lot of points against her, bro.
All right.
Hey.
I'm in for that campaign for you.
All right.
Yes.
Here we go.
Can we talk about another one of the funniest quotable scenes was the slow it down.
Slow it down.
And then my brother and I, to the day we die, we'll be like, ooh, somebody got a ticket.
Shut up.
Like, in fact, anytime I drive past someone that is pulled over, I go, somebody got a ticket.
Not you, the kids.
Not you, the kids.
They are the best thing about this movie.
Yeah.
How is there not a spinoff of just these three characters and their antics?
I've got a Mike's fan theory coming up.
I want to see and these actors together. Like, how was there like, you know what? Three Ninjas was a success. I think it's because of the kids. John nope. Turtletop was. You're so fucking wrong, dude.
You're so
far.
Did the other
they
way.
Not make an appearance in the other?
I don't think so.
Okay,
because
then
remember.
My fan theory later on will predict what happened to those three guys, and they went on to some cool stuff.
Because we never see it. We never see what happens.
And I have a full-blown prediction of what happened to him.
Are you guys with me? Like, these guys are so fucking funny.
They're hilarious.
They're so entertaining to watch. And it's just, every time it goes to them, I'm just like, yes. All right.
So what's with the overly stereotyped California surfer dude guy?
I don't know, man.
Because it's in so much. It's in this. It's in... It's Bill and Ted. It's Point Break. Fast Times.
It's,
surf Ninjas.
It's just
Will
Keanu
we ever
Reeves.
Talk Ugh. Surf Ninjas?
God, I hope so. It's as referenced as like the Valley Girl. You know what I mean?
It's the same thing.
It's the same thing. It's just the California equivalent of the dude. You know what I mean? And by the way, we glossed over their introductory scene.
Yes.
Because it was at the end of the last, but I'll bring it back for 2 seconds. That they're scoping out what you think are like babes, surfer babes.
Well,
and they're checking the board.
It's a surfboard.
And like one good editing portion of the movie is when they're like, well, they're well read and cut, and they're reading the comic or the nudie mag or whatever they're looking at. That's a good cut.
Well played.
That's a good cinema touch.
And they're so affable about what they're doing. They have zero cares in the world. He tells them, oh, yeah, go get some
My dude, go get some nachos and some salsa
and
pronto.
Salsa pronto. And none of that green stuff. Dude.
And that one only says dude in the entire movie.
I was going to say
and
that.
You, my good man, open up the cash register. And it's just like, and you're just like, God, he doesn't care. This is just what
he
does.
So enjoyable.
You guys have provided two. I mean, like, everyone hates Emily. Everyone loves the surfer dudes. Like, we are all in agreement here, right?
Oh, yeah. 100%.
This is fucking awesome.
So, as they continue. And by the way, these guys are absolute maniacal people.
They're out of their mind.
Absolutely. He fires off rounds at that dude. Yeah. And that's wild.
And he's taken that before.
Yeah.
You can tell he doesn't flinch. The only thing that flinches is the destruction behind him.
Yep. He doesn't give a dang, apparently. This is like third time this week. And
And I think I figured out, because you think laid-back surfer guys, you think they're not going to commit violence, right? You know, unless you get like the Point Break guys, like something's wrong. Like those guys were all about the adrenaline, which caused them into crime, right?
Right. They didn't have a boatie.
Yeah, but these guys, like, they should just be so chilled out. Why are they so criminal? I know why. Mm. They're listening to Metallica.
100%.
Metallica caused this criminal rage in them.
Yeah, yep. Absolutely.
They have the touch of Satan within them. Right.
He's putting Metallica stickers, defacing public property everywhere.
Hammers wearing the tee, you know?
Metallica did this.
They are the puppets, and Metallica is the master.
Mm-hmm. So there you go. I mean, in case your kid right now is listening to some sort of heavy metal, you're screwed.
You're done.
Yeah.
Sorry to say.
Just want to make sure everybody knows that.
Yeah, appreciate that.
Basketball.
Let's go
to basketball, because we talked about how punchable the bullies were. Let's talk about the actual basketball scene.
Yeah.
Just because you know karate or ninjutsu, whatever the fuck you learn, doesn't mean that you're automatically good at every other sport.
No, it does.
Oh, it does?
Yes, it does.
Oh, okay.
It also means that you can dunk a basketball at 3 feet tall.
Correct.
Yeah.
Yep, that makes sense.
That checks out.
It also means that you can play a game where you go, hey, no big deal, we'll score 10 points when you only have to score one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Those kids, like, this is negotiation 101. All those kids wanted to do was play basketball. They could have been like, we're in, first to 10, and they would have been like, yeah, let's do it.
What are we playing to? 10, duh.
Duh.
Hey, wasn't that kid, wasn't kind of the ringleader bully, the chubby one, wasn't he in...
Are you going to say Hook?
No. He was in Boys in the Hood. He was one of the younger versions of them as they were growing up in that movie.
No way.
I think he's probably the most famous person in that movie, to tell you the truth, because nobody else went on to do anything. No one did. But man, you tan, duh, laugh.
Yeah. How about some hay? Laugh.
Laugh. And I hated how all the other kids would go, fight! Somebody want to watch the fight? Yeah. Come watch the fight!
Like, you can tell, like this is improper staging, okay? This is me getting real critical. I'm tapping into Sean here, okay? I literally saw someone with a ball, and they threw it, like, 2 inches in the air, and then, like, grabbed it again, and they're like, fight! And it's just like, no one's...
It was bad.
It's just really bad, like, staging, I think.
There was even a spot where, like, Rocky or Colt was doing something, and you could see Emily in the background going, ooh, like she had some stupid look on her face, like, wow, it's bad.
Well, even before, like, the whole basketball scene starts, it's like, they're just throwing the ball back and forth, not playing basketball. Like, you don't do that with a basketball. You play basketball with a basketball. It's like, I kind of sympathize with the bullies, but like, give me that fucking ball. We're going to play basketball.
It's true.
You're just throwing it back and forth.
Every recess teacher would say, are you playing basketball with the basketball? No, we're just tossing it back and forth. Okay, well, you need to play basketball with the basketball, okay? If you're not going to play basketball, let somebody play basketball with the basketball.
Yeah, here's a four-square ball.
That's what a reasonable teacher at recess would do at any point in time.
But like, he doesn't come in until the last minute.
Yeah, and you guys can get a dodgeball or, you know, you play four-square if that's what you want to do. We're not playing four-square. We're trying to pass the ball back and forth. Okay, well, you're not playing basketball.
You wouldn't understand this is a ninja game.
Right? I like the feel of the basketball.
It seemed, the whole thing seemed unnecessary.
Even the music in this scene, like, it's got the, like... It's got like the kind of like theme going underneath.
Oh, yeah.
No, Mike. But no.
Oh, yeah.
And then the NWO fucking NWO Nitro on fucking Sega Genesis music. That guitar tone.
Actually, just everyone be quiet. I'm going to play it right now.
Yep.
as we continue talking.
So here's the other thing. I'm going to continue on my Emily tirade. She comes up and it's like, look, we're going to get your, it's like, why are you showing off? I'm not showing off. I'm trying to get your bike back.
Trying to play basketball.
And it's like, why are you showing off? It's like, I'm not showing off. I'm playing basketball. And I'm just like,
that was so bad.
What Go-Gurt commercial did we just become a part of? Like that, this is what it is.
Hey,
like,
Tony. Yeah. I love the things you do.
It's like, okay. And so, and like Emily, just with that scorn, she doesn't want her man to do anything. She just wants all the focus on her. Why are you showing off?
Bitch, we haven't even established a contract yet. What the fuck is your problem?
I am trying. And by the way, you're just adding to the prenup. Yeah. God damn it.
They're not even like the first couple months of your relationship should have stress like that. And
nothing.
They're not even dating and it's stressful.
Gosh.
This is not going to work out. This might be one of those things where they get into high school and they date just because, but then like Rocky's really just not feeling it.
Rocky realizes he's a fucking dreamboat.
Yeah. But Emily might come around though. Emily, you never know. Like right. Emily might come around.
You're right. You're right. Yeah, that was me. That was me.
And Rocky might go downhill.
Yeah, never know. That's true. That's
true. Very good point.
He might have a kid at 13. You know,
it's all about where you peak. And Rocky's not giving himself any good points here. So.
Ninja sperm, dude.
They lose their bikes, right? They lose their bikes. They spotted them nine. They've been just wrecking house this whole time. And by the way, I just have to say, these bullies celebrate a little bit too much for scoring 1 point.
Yeah!
An illegal 1 point, by the way.
An illegal 1 point. And by the way, he really did get a nosebleed on the set.
Yeah, that's right.
Cool.
Of that. He actually took the hit. And like
Colt always does his very extended, like, pull your arms back to fight.
Yeah, yeah.
Colt?
Colt?
No fighting. His hand gestures. That's the one thing about Rocky. Or the kid, his acting that upsets me so much. Watch his hands.
He's a leader,
There's
man.
So much hand movement. He might as well be a Power Ranger.
Well, he was a karate guy, and they taught him how to act.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, let's move this train.
Move on.
You guys good on this?
I'm good.
So that night, Colt learns that Snyder, who they assumed was a friend of Maury's, is actually the criminal their father is after. They are left with a babysitter when Jessica leaves them to pick up Sam. And Fester and his friends break into the house with a fake pizza order, subduing the old... really old babysitter. I just added that. That was ad lib.
I got it.
The boys cause havoc on the surfer dudes and eventually defeat them. However, after freeing the babysitter, the boys are overpowered by Brown and Snyder's giant bodyguard, Rushmore. So you ready for this fan theory?
Yes.
Do it.
Mike's fan theories.
Don't you worry about a thing.
I'm Sean.
these three surfer dudes, were taken by Snyder and put into like an imprisonment on that ship, right? Because he said they were going to kill him if they didn't do it, and they did not do their job.
You mean at the end of this movie?
At the end of this scene, they take the boys and take them away.
We don't see what happens to them whatsoever.
Yeah, we don't see what happens to them. So I picture they were put into a small cell and getting ready to be killed, but then all this other stuff starts happening, the commotion on the ship that we'll get to.
Yeah.
So they don't get dealt with. The FBI then shows up and says, who are these three guys? And they're like, we were captured by these people. We weren't doing anything wrong. And they go, okay, you're free to go. So they let these three surfer dudes go. And they're thinking, man, this life of crime is not for me, right?
Right.
This is 1992.
Right.
They're like, what else can we do with our life? They learn how to play music.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
They become the Sons of Thunder.
Yes, they do.
They become the band that plays in 1994 Airheads. Who, you know, our heroes are like, what band is the Sons of Thunder? Got a record deal before us. So they become, in fact, our boy, Race Nelson, the blonde guy, he's the lead singer. Like, he's the blonde guy. Yeah. He goes, we'd like to thank everybody for coming out tonight and getting us a record deal and playing our album on the radio.
He finally learned other words than dude.
Correct. Because all he said was dude in the movie.
Yeah.
In fact,
Marcus was his name. I had to say that. Yeah.
In fact, on my second viewing last night, I counted how many times they said dude.
Did you really?
You want to know? Any guesses?
So those
three guys in combination throughout the entire movie, how many times?
32.
I'm going to say upwards of 60.
81 dudes in the script
so
from
Bob
those
Barker
three
gives
dudes.
It to me.
Wow.
Isn't that insane?
That's nuts. I love that. I thought that's my that might be where you're going. I thought you were gonna do the what are they the Lone Rangers.
No, they're not our not our heroes because we know our heroes. They are the Sons of Thunder.
I like that better.
Deep cut.
That's awesome.
Deep. I hope we do Airheads someday.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's nowhere near as neat as that. But one tidbit that I do have is like the fate of the Surfer Dudes isn't actually revealed in the film, but there are some theories besides Mike's better one.
Yes.
Number one, the three of them got arrested. Number two, Brown killed the men. Number three, Brown told them to leave and go surf or something before the police or Snyder showed up. That's what was on IMDb.
Yeah, I don't think that's the one. I think it's either mine or the first two.
I think it's 100% they started a band. I want that to fucking happen. I want to see this movie. I want to see the movie with these guys and not Ayaz.
Yeah.
Ayaz. This is going to be a fun one. I'm very excited about this scene.
Okay, so
they just saw Home Alone.
We can turn our house into booby traps.
Can I start just by saying Colt is like in his dad's office, like looking at completely secured files of
confidential files, international FBI files,
international terrorists just on his desk Ninja willy tricks, nilly.
Dude. He's hanging out in there, and it's just like, well, who's this guy? Who's like, what are you talking? Who's he after? What's going on? He's not. He hasn't made any connections yet. And then mom comes in, it's like, Colt, honey, what are you doing? Hey, what's going on? Well, I'm going to meet your dad right now. You know, it's like, well, they're just going to have a bang session in the office because he's got to get some stress out. And so it's just like, I'm going to go meet him right now. And it's like, okay, great. And it's just like, and then she literally says, it's like, well, what's going on? Who is this guy? It's like, well, there's a file right on top of his desk. Just go ahead and peek through it and just do whatever the hell you want with this FBI confidential file.
You are obviously not a capable whatever 10-year-old, 13-year-old, whatever the fuck.
He's 10.
You don't know ninja stuff at all. Like you haven't created like a whole like network in your fucking entire house with like warning that your mom's gonna be coming, you know?
No shit.
Obviously he's intuitive. Once the mom leaves,
okay,
enter Ruth Bader Ginsburg in her first and only movie role as the grandma.
I hate that babysitter.
Was that not Ruth Bader Ginsburg?
I don't think it was.
Was it not?
Did you ever have babysitters like that?
I never had a babysitter like that.
No.
Never had the...
It's always like my older cousins or the cool people that
We didn't order any pizza.
Just
spitting COVID all over the door. God. It's
like... some kids ordered it. Open up.
And this is again why the surfer guys are the best, because it definitely looks like the two are trying to hide to the side, but you can clearly see them in the people. It's like shut up.
And to Sean's point, I love these surfer dudes so much that like they're not bad guys. In fact, they're like, we should save some pizza for these little kids. They're probably cool little dudes.
Probably really nice kids.
Cool little dudes. Like, I love these guys.
I know. And like, first we feast, then we fill in.
Then we fill in.
It's so good. Like, even their lines are better than everybody else's.
Exactly.
Someone took them way more care with these characters than they did anybody else.
Yeah. 100%.
Do you think when the writer was writing this movie and he's thinking of all these movies, like, he's thinking of The Simpsons, like, Eat My Shorts, and he's thinking of Home Alone, and he's thinking of all these like one-liners that became pop culture, that he's like, dude, when they hear Tom Tom say, let's myrtleize them, that this is going to be like quote of the century.
Well, you're showing us your tattoo on your wrist of that line right now.
Right.
It's unbelievable.
Let's myrtleize
them. In quotations.
I mean, you did say that as kids, but it never stuck.
No.
It didn't stick.
What I remember saying that as a kid and my brother telling me, shut up, that's not a word. And that's like literally how our exchanges went.
Shut up, Tom Tom.
Yeah. He was definitely cold, I'm sure. So.
Definitely.
Definitely cold.
I also like, because adding to like their just affableness, the surfer dudes, is just like, once they like invade the room, like, whoa, cool room.
Cool room.
Where would I be if I was a little
booger?
A little booger, yeah. Yeah. Where would I be if I was a little booger? Parents' room. Last one out closes the door.
And Hammer is legitimately upset that he was the last one out.
God. He's like, what? Because they set up their own rules, their own stepping stones that you have to follow and step off.
The floor's lava.
Yeah, exactly. Yes.
They have their own hierarchy games within their threesome they have.
It's so good. It's,
their back and forth is brilliant, and I love the pizza outfit. Like, it's clearly like some sort of Domino's ripoff that somebody
they beat up a guy
exactly, and like they found like the local pizza
dude.
Guy. It's like the local Domino's ripoff. But there's no pizza name. Is there a pizza name on the box?
I would have noticed because pretty I love that shit.
You know,
I would have thought by then Little Nero's would have made its way.
You would think they were doing pretty good. So
I do have to say, like, the stuntman and like who stunted for these guys, definitely not as good as Home Alone. I see, like, on the stairway in particular, like, one trips on the jelly beans backwards, then launches himself forwards into a wall. Like, it looks so, like, not good. Like, in Home Alone, those pratfalls are, like, legendary. Yeah. Like, they were sought after for other movies, you know? Like, them just, like, straight up legs underneath them, back on the fucking ground. Hardcore shit.
Great
these guys,
stunt work.
No. just a little whoopsie.
It wasn't good.
Then, oops. Oh, I got to go forward again. You know, like, it seems like they kept the second take with that. Yeah. You know, it's just like,
good enough.
Yeah. So let's walk through some of the gimmicks and the phases, right? Phase one, right? Phase one.
Sure.
And so they drop in, and Colt goes to the very end.
Mm-hmm. Seems like he has the hardest
He's
duties.
Got the toughest duties for
Locking
sure.
Locking himself in a room within
the
dark.
No kidding. What a dangerous thing to do. They're armed, by the way. They do have guns.
They have pistols. Live rounds, we saw.
And so he goes in there, immediately just defaces his mask, quite literally.
Which, it takes a long time for paint to dry, you guys.
Yeah, exactly. You're going to tell me he's not huffing that right now? That guy, that kid's high as fuck.
It's like listening to this podcast.
So there's number one. They get some good gags in there. They got the oil on the way, and then he rocks the jelly beans.
Yep.
Right, and then eventually, the CDs.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Like Ninja Stars.
Ninja Stars.
Those are probably good albums too.
And exactly. You
That's the first time I ever bought
those damn kids. Like that.
There he goes. Throw it.
You know the Batman soundtrack. It's not important.
Totally different movie.
It's not important. So they're flipping CDs at him. Okay, got it. By the way, that reverse hanging that happens on Fester, dude,
it's not good.
That's the death right there. His neck is snapped.
Help!
No ways, man. No way.
Yeah,
not at all. Not happening.
But then when they go help him, it's just like, oh yeah, I could have got out of that.
I know that the quote is Rocky loves Emily. Mm-hmm. More like Emily loves Rocky. She shoots out of bed over to help.
That's true.
Yeah. Come over. I need you to come over.
Come
in the front door. And she shoots out of bed. Like, she will do anything for Rocky.
In her nightgown.
And she ruined it.
She did.
Had she not answered that stupid, unusable tin can phone, they would have been all right.
Yeah. Thank you. If she wouldn't
calling
have been.
All cars. Calling all cars. Calling all cars. Calling all cars.
It's so funny, like what he does in that.
Come over. calling all cars.
Calling all cars. There is something about his voice there. Isn't
I did.
It?
I did really like that.
Calling all cars. No. So Emily, if she gets out, and she is the whole reason why they get caught again. She's the whole reason that they get caught.
The whole reason.
And that's it. Again, why you got to be that way? And by the way, she still hasn't forgiven Rocky at this point.
She's still mad.
She thinks like she's going to show up and get a goddamn brand new bike or some shit. So, I don't know.
No. Done with her.
Yeah.
I'm done with her.
I'm telling you.
The boys are brought back to Snyder's ship and put into captivity. They eventually escape their captivity, defeat countless hordes of ninjas, including final boss Rushmore. Snyder confronts Mori and challenges him to a fight for the boys' freedom. Due to his youth and speed, Snyder almost proves too much for Mori until he remembers a handful of jelly beans, which Tum-Tum had given him, and uses them to gag Snyder. Refusing defeat, Snyder grabs a gun from one of his subordinates, but is suddenly shot and subdued by Douglas and the rest of the just-arriving, in-the-nick-of-time FBI. Snyder and his men are arrested. Douglas tells the boys he will let the boys continue to go to their grandpa's every summer and takes the rest of the night off to go get pizza. Grandpa doesn't like pizza, but he's still going to go. While on the way home from school, the bullies return. Rocky beats the bully up using his ninjutsu skills. The rest of the bullies jump off their bikes and run away as Rocky, Colt, Tum Tum, and Emily reclaim their bikes and ride off into the sunset.
Oh, yeah!
Oh, kid power!
Kid power.
That song, that's the most garbage song I've ever heard in my life.
I, like, usually, like, when we rewatch these movies and I, like, I'm just, like, enjoying them, I'm like, yeah, I'm going to let the credits play for a little bit. Just, like, I like...
You turned
like,
it off, didn't you?
Oh, God.
So, Mike. So just when you thought it was bad, the, during the basketball scene,
yeah.
Then, like, the rap verse and the yeah. kid power and the weird talking in the background comes on.
Ugh.
It got worse.
It gets terrible. It's like he's just got sample buttons in front of him. I'm just going to press them when I get random times.
Good take. That was a good take.
And it's just like, it's just... It's like, stay confident, psych. stay confident, psych. What are you doing here? It's like, what the heck is going on? Sense. There's no rhyme or reason
was
to
that,
it.
Was that Mark Hansen?
Which is, the whole point of rap music, by the way, rhyme and reason. So, you know.
Jesus Christ.
I laugh so hard this time around that, you know, so the kids are gone. The cops are there. They're trying to figure out. They're like, Schneider took the boys. Yeah. And Grandpa shows up, right?
Grandpa shows up.
Now, Grandpa is dressed up like a ninja. Not stealthy at all.
You say like a ninja.
Like, he's just wearing like a sheet kind of a thing. And he's got a thing. And he looks so unathletic. And he really looks like he's 90-something years old. Yep. And, like, that was enough right there. But then I started thinking, imagine that you're married and you've been together for a long time and your wife's dad thinks he's a ninja. And, like, having to, like, because as a kid, I'm like, why doesn't Douglas listen to him? Now I'm like, are you fucking kidding me?
Look at this fucking weirdo.
Look at this guy. Like
shows up in a fucking negligee bathrobe.
Yeah, I was just going to say, his repurposed satin sheets that he decided to chop up and shit.
He's lucky that he had a backlight to make it look somewhat intense.
Well, and there it lies, again, the opposite of ninjutsu. He's standing in the light. Like, I can see your silhouette.
They saw
you
him coming.
I saw you from half a mile away.
Well, that whole negotiation too is like I'll have 300 men there right now. He's like, no, they're gonna be expecting you and they're gonna kill them if they see you. And he's like, I'll get in there, give me one hour.
Yeah,
he's like, okay, well, hurry up. He's like, I did walk here though.
Is there any way you guys can give
me
a ride?
Give me a lift. can you call me an Uber?
Because before this, all we get is like images of him like practicing his sword. He's like, soon, my old friend.
Soon. We must protect our family, protect old our friend. Family. I just laughed really hard, like thinking if I had met my wife and she's like, yeah, it's my dad. Like, he's a ninja.
So this is a thing, right? It's a known thing.
This is gonna go away, right?
Honey, no, yeah. I'm an FBI agent.
But we deal with this, right? Like we let him do it, but we know he's this no, is, no, he
oh,
is.
And now he's gonna take our kids for the entire
this
summer.
Is, this is for real though, like. I'm an FBI. Yeah. Like, I don't. We need to separate ourselves. Maybe not have him at Thanksgiving every year.
Well, he's got to see the boys, honey. He's got to see. He wants to see the boys.
I'm on the. Like, I am internal investigations this guy right now.
I am so stressed out right now. I cannot deal with your grandpa.
Have you seen Snyder?
So I don't mean to draw back, but like, the babysitter's dead, right? I'm just saying, she got pizza, she can't talk, and like, I'm just saying, like, they tied up loose ends. That's Snyder's
you
way.
I think so, yeah.
They tied up loose ends,
well,
right?
I mean, okay. That begs the question, what happened to them, you know? Like, what happened to the surfer dudes, you know? Yeah. Like,
I think they all got taken back to the ship.
Probably.
Yep.
Okay.
And put into containment cells.
Fair.
Yep.
Yeah. We've moved on, and now we've got Stunt Grandpa climbing the ropes of the boat.
Stunt Grandpa.
Are we there yet?
Oh, yeah.
Yes, we're there.
Okay. That's it. That's Stunt Grandpa.
That's all it is.
They slapped a pillow inside those satin sheets. They're using all sorts of bedding in this fucking for the costume.
True living
design. I think this is Bed Bath and Beyond. All
just
day.
Sponsored by Bed Bath and Beyond.
Yeah, 100%.
When they're in their cell talking, it's like, Grandpa's a bad guy. Why don't you get that, Rocky? And Tom's just like, I'm just so hungry. And Rocky's trying to find a way out, yeah. You know, and is like, I hope he brings pizza if he comes. Like, Grandpa's a bad guy, Tum-Tum. Why don't you get it?
Yep. And here again, humanize the goons, okay? Frank, Is that you, Frank? Yeah, Frank, what are you doing down there, man? You don't need to be down there messing around with that. Come on, get out of there, Frank.
It's Friday night in L.A., dude. Yeah. Like, these ninjas went off the ship like, so they can go.
Quit dicking around. We're trying to get off. We're all going to Bernie's after this. It's just like they're going down to the local pub to try to get a brew after this. God, Snyder is just an ass rider, man.
It's all just gags after gags after gags.
This movie's only like an hour and a half long, but it's just at this point, it feels like it's been going on for a really long time.
It really does. And
they get every mile, every inch, and every, like, all of it out of this scene. It's just.
It really is. They, by the way, when they do finally run into Grandpa, right? And they're like, Grandpa, it's us. It's like he's like possessed or something. It's like, no, it's us. Don't worry about it. He pulls out a throwing knife.
And throws it at them.
And throws it at them, hits the guy behind them, boing.
Boing.
He just killed a guy.
Was that the first probable death in the movie? I think at this point.
Like, let's not count all the other, like, deaths that could have occurred.
That was a death.
That was a death that happened.
And they put a boing on it.
And they put a spring-loaded Disney boing on it.
I fucking hated that.
But it works, though, because as a kid, I was like, I didn't think anything of it. Yeah. I was like, ah, they got him. Grandpa's back. And I was actually really scared.
He threw a stick at him.
And, oh, thank God.
And why, like, after what seems like wave upon wave of ninjas, they finally remember, like, they have guns. And they're like, oh, yeah, we got guns. And they pull out their guns finally after, like, 1,000 of them have been killed.
Yeah.
Like, it's like they were afraid to use the guns when earlier in the movie they had samurai swords that they were cool to just slice a dude in half.
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah, we got these machine guns. Forgot.
Oh, yeah, let's just all pull out our service revolvers in a firing line and shoot these kids down in this old elderly man.
You know, the true way of the ninja.
Yeah.
Like, you know,
and
the
even
way.
Right before this, Ghostface Killa. Wait, how long? Ghostface Killa, sword licker. How long has he been standing there?
Yeah,
remember him in the boiler room.
That dude could have fucked the kids up.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Oh, yeah.
If it wasn't for them pesky kids,
I don't buy that those pesky kids could beat that guy.
Ghostface Killa, sword licker.
That was the guy that doesn't leave to go to Bernie's house for beers after the like. He stays and practices.
He's real serious. Kabuki Joe Boxer is super super fucking.
I don't know what I like better.
Come on,
give us a poll. Kabuki what?
Kabuki Joe Boxer
or Ghostface Killa, sword licker?
I like them both. Can we combine them together somehow?
Can that be our nicknames?
Spooky Joe Boxing Ghostface Killer.
Ghostface Killer.
I'm Mike.
Sword Licker.
Sword Licker. that's a rap lyric. They should have put that into the end rap. Anyways, yeah, that guy totally could have messed those dudes up. And I'm glad they were able to get past him, I guess. But and the little final shot that Tum Tum gets in, you know,
just get a final shot.
It is.
So
that is what it is.
Are we to Rushmore fight?
We're there. Yeah, okay. We're there.
When they fight him, it's like they're fighting your drunk dad, and you accidentally hit his like
drunk uncle.
Drunkle.
Yeah, you hit
just
his
like Thanksgiving.
You hit his toe or something, and it like actually hurts him, and he's kind of drunk, and he kind of drunk reacts like Frankenstein. Yeah. Like he's drunk and feels the pain, but he's like also playing and also drunk, so he doesn't. It's like this super surreal state that he's in. You know the feeling I'm talking about?
I know exactly what you're talking about. Because they would like kick him, and then somebody would be like, pretend like that hurt. And then he'd go, ah.
Or like when they wrap their arms around his neck, he's like,
he kind of goes like full like emergency mode for like strength. Yep. He's just like, crap, there's a little bit stronger than I anticipated, so I'm just gonna really Hulk out. Yeah. And he's just like oh man, like he doesn't last very long. Remember training, boys. And it's just like they light him up. Let's light this dude up.
Remember, like the.
Sex doll?
Yeah, remember?
Yeah. Touch him in the naughty parts.
And they even make the noises in the background of the ding with the
flashing the face of the thing in.
Just so like, you, in case you forgot from earlier in the movie,
right.
This is what they learned, where remember if you hit these points, it will incapacitate this guy, remember?
Yeah, they did it for a whole hour.
We have this footage. Let's just throw it in there.
Yep.
Who gives a shit?
Yep.
So, of course, Maury and Snyder fight. And Snyder's going to wax Maury. Are you kidding me? Like,
yeah.
If it wasn't for stunt Maury, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, like, Stunt Maury. Even Stunt Maury's getting waxed by Snyder. Yeah. I mean, Snyder knows his shit.
Yeah, he still got those satin sheets. He learned something from Maury.
It takes fucking jelly beans to bring Snyder down, dude.
I can't believe it. I can't.
Dude, you didn't see that coming. In fact, I didn't remember that either. Like, that's not a memorable thing. So really? When it happened, I was like, oh wow, jelly beans.
He's down now. Hmm. Yeah. I remember when Snyder gets shot. You know he gets shot because he holds his wounds right away. Yes. And there's no blood or anything. That's how you know if someone gets
and
shot.
And he looks more disappointed than like hurt. He's like, you got me.
I guess I'll give up.
Grandpa certainly is senile. He's like, can I talk to my family before we fight? And he's like,
AJ's really good. AJ's good at impressions. Like, he's been really good through these things.
And he's like talking to him. He's like, no matter what happens, don't help me.
Four strands of rope.
Four strands. And he's like, don't try to help me. And he's just like, Colt's like, but Grandpa. And he's like, what? It's like, no, it's like a rhetorical, but Grandpa, you're supposed to say, don't help me.
Yeah,
but
he's like, actually, like, I was actually just saying that so you guys might just come in and help, because like, I'm pretty old. I had a stroke before I came here. I walked here.
It's like, and yeah, I don't know, like, they all finish up, he's done, and that's it, right? They just go for pizza?
It's done. They go for pizza. Everything's great.
How are you not phased like by this by a kid? How do they not have like those emergency EMT blankets all over them? And they're not all just like shivering and shaking like, what the fuck did
Pretty
we
sure.
just witness?
Pretty sure like 50 people died.
He just
died.
Almost killed my grandpa without mercy.
And also grandpa killed somebody.
Grandpa just killed a guy. It's like, what the hell? How are you not just like phased?
Back to real life, baby. Yep, let's go get some pizza.
Their dad's back.
Yeah, their dad and their dad cares all. Again.
That's right.
Dad cares again.
Yeah,
and dad's willing to accept that his
and dad's willing to just drop every single piece of work on his partner and call good.
Yeah,
come on, we got evidence to collect.
Yeah, we got evidence. We got like 19 dead bodies.
No,
we got
way more than that.
Yeah,
we got 50 dead bodies. We got a lot of search through with this an entire boat here, Douglas. No.
Yeah, you better.
We're going for pizza.
Pizza with the kids.
let's get some hit to reality. Think you better go do that yourself. What's that? You better go do it. I got a whole family to take to pizza. No, you didn't fucking hear me.
No, yeah.
We have to cover this. Let's go.
You don't get to go to pizza.
Yo. We were searching for this guy for years. Now the real work begins. Right. Right.
You're not getting out of the bullshit paperwork. No way.
This is the definition of overtime. You are with us.
That's my thing. It's like, you didn't get out of that, Sam.
So last thing that I hated about the movie was they didn't put any thought into wardrobe at all.
Thank you. Oh my God, I'm so glad you noticed this.
Because what, 5 days later, they meet the bullies at the end of the movie, and everybody's got the same.
They're the bullies, man. How are you supposed to know?
All the bullies, all the kids, everyone has the same clothes.
It's the same fucking clothes. You gotta be shitting me. And it's just like you couldn't foresee. And by the way, Rocky's goddamn sweatshirt is the dead giveaway first. That's the first like tick into this, and then you're like,
You could have got if you had changed his shirt.
Yeah, you could have.
You could have got away with it.
100%.
But did I notice that as a kid on the 100 times I watched it? Yeah. Never noticed that.
No, absolutely. Finishing up, Emily, you're just the worst. You're still holding your grudge like you ladies do.
Final thoughts? Is that what you're saying?
It's basically final thoughts on this. And I just like, you can't let this go. He's even getting your bike back. And finally, you have some shred of decency to let him just do what he does best. And kick their asses.
And Colt and Tom Tom are not impressed. Like, come on.
Yeah, it's like, let's go. This should have been done like 4 years ago. Yeah.
I just, one last thing on their wardrobe was like, I mean, did you ever see Hey Arnold change his clothes? Did you ever see Roger Klotz change his clothes?
No.
No. Okay. You're right.
But Doug did have an entire closet of his sweater vest and shorts.
That's true.
I'm just saying.
So establish that shot for me and then I'll buy it.
Yep. 100%.
Okay.
Well, it was the most frustrating thing to watch that. I rewound, like, so I made sure Tum Tum was wearing the same clothes. And, like, he was. These pieces of shit. That's it.
Oh, yeah. Kid. Okay.
Kid.
I hate it. So let's. Okay, we made it through. It's time for ratings now. We all three of us gave it an enthusiastic more than an 8.
Yeah.
As kids. Yeah.
Can you believe it?
I'm starting with Sean on this one. Sean, where did you land upon adulthood rewatch with a critical eye?
It's charming. It's nostalgic. I could, the only way you would ever make me watch this movie, and you'd have to make me, is that you'd have to offer me strong psychedelics in order to do so, to just put this in my eyes again, or like very, very strong alcohol, like get me wasted, get me really, really high, and I will watch this with a group of people.
Okay.
Preferably more than six.
Okay.
That is the only stipulation I have, because it's hot garbage. It's not good. Literally, like the surfers should have their own movie, and yep. I would watch the absolute motherfucking shit out of that
with cameos by Tum Tum.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Like
yeah.
There you go. I'd watch
absolutely.
That.
Yeah,
yeah.
Yeah.
It's a three, man. I
yep.
Wow.
Like I'll go 3.5 just because of that Discuss. Nostalgia boost.
All right. Age.
It's a special thing to be able to rewatch a movie, and when you rewatch it, you're like you're kind of like embarrassed or like made to you feel awkward by watching it, and that's what this movie does. And I feel like awkward like watching it. I feel uncomfortable. I feel like at certain parts there are some words dropped in this that should have been edited out, like in 1995. And they're just in passing, and like there are certain things, and you're just like, yeah, does not stand the test of time. It just does not hold up the way that it should, other than our favorite aspects of the movie. And I think, yeah, I'm gonna go in on this pretty hard, guys. I am giving this a 2.4.
Oh my God. Well,
I can't rely on nostalgia. I'm going all
in. And that is the reason why we did this, is because we want to know what is the power of nostalgia. Like yeah. On some of the movies we've reviewed, we've said, no, it actually got better. Like this is a legitimately good movie, but this is one of the ones that finally falls into that. Okay. Yeah. Because I was the perfect age when I saw this,
right.
And I didn't have a thing called internet, and this is all I had for entertainment. This is why I liked it. So I agree that the surfer dudes and Tum Tum for me were like the only cool features, but they were only in 30% of the movie. So for me, that's a three.
Yeah.
Yeah. Whatever they were in, I was cool with. The rest was just like, yeah,
it's a tough thing. This like nostalgia thing, because it's just like, watching this movie over again, I'm just like, yeah, it's fun. It's fun, but like it can't sustain itself
no.
the entire time.
Right.
And I don't know. I just want to, I want to love it because I loved it back then.
Of course.
But there's just no way. Like this is the one movie that we've covered so far that makes me glad that I have grown up.
The rest are like, man, I wish I could go back in time.
Yeah. The only time I like my stipulations for watching this movie ever again, the only time I ever want to hear it referenced again is from my brother, just so I can
of
make
course.
Fun of him.
You there know? You go.
It's one of those that I really wish I could go back and see it for the first time again as a kid.
Yep.
If yeah. I can't do that, I'm
no,
out.
No thanks.
Yep.
Well, there you have it. We hope you enjoyed this episode. It is currently on Hulu as of the filming of this, which is February 2021.
And that's the uncut version.
That
well.
Is the uncut version. Yes. So give it a watch. And continuing with the weekly content, tune in next Wednesday as we bring you another amazing information-filled mini-bite episode. We're going to be exploring the original 8-bit Nintendo gaming console. It's going to be a good one. And in 2 more weeks, we'll be back reviewing classic movies, sticking with the ninja theme. We can't seem to get away with it. We're going to hit
what's happening.
We're going to hit the truly amazing, though, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. Churnals. I said churnals.
Churnals.
I meant turtles. So don't miss out and stay caught up. AJ, take us out.
Guys, you know what you have to do? You're listening on a platform right now because you're hearing our beautiful voices. You sat through the entire thing, and it would be just an absolute disservice to us and to yourself to not leave us a review. 5 stars, write something down, so we'll announce it and share it on the show right here in the very beginning of every episode. So get in on this with us and have your review read on the show. Leave it on the platform you're listening. We are on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, CastBox, Stitcher, and many other platforms to consume podcasts. Other than that, if you can't do that, then just leave a review. If you can't do the review on that platform, then leave it on Facebook with us. Leave us a review there. Join in on the conversation and look out for all the funny tidbits that you can. We've got Facebook, Confused Breakfast. We've got Instagram, Confused Breakfast. Twitter, Confused BeFast, and the ever important in today's culture, TikTok, is kicking off
Confused Breakfast.
Confused Breakfast on TikTok.
Just taking the world by storm. Sean, where can everybody find you, brother?
You can find me, SeanPower237, on Instagram and TikTok. Thank you very much. Goodbye.
Oh, yeah.
Ooh. Guys, you can listen for me anywhere on social media and the internet. It's AJ Venz, AJAYVENS, AJ Venz, anywhere on social media.
Make sure to stream my band on Spotify or Apple Music, Sons of Thunder.
Oh, yeah.
That's all I ask of you. Check me out.
I call drums.
Okay, all right. Cool.
All right.
Don't tell mom the babysitter's dead.
All right, we're going to leave you. Goodbye.
Hi-ya!